about to tell you about the time at Fort Pope, we're out on bivouac, the Iron Dragoon, that's what it was called. And we were camped in, was real close to a slough.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody found a baby alligator next to their sleeping bag.
Mm-hmm.
And we were next to the mess tent. And the mess was over long, it was 1 or 2 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, boy, pots and pans and stuff started scattering and raising hell all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody put a light on, there was a whole herd of feral hogs.
Whoa.
And those Whoa. Suckers were plentiful over there, believe me.
Right. And mean.
Yeah, especially the big old boars.
Right.
And mamas with little ones. I'd rather face a boar than a mama with little ones, because
yeah.
she'll tear you up. But driving from Austin to Leesville, Louisiana,
mm-hmm.
anytime you get in the piney woods down there, you saw a feral hog
mm-hmm.
caused a wreck.
Mm-hmm.
You hit a hog with a car, it's going to turn you over, it's going to roll you.
Right.
Because they're so low to the ground, they start rolling up underneath your car, it's going to flip.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way you get out of it.
It's the way New York was with deer. Just about everybody, basically if you lived in New York, you're going to hit a deer. Because right during the rutting season, they'd run all over the roads like mad.
Mm-hmm.
And just like the feral hog, you're going to hit one. Forget it. Just you don't know when, but one day you're going to hit one.
Well, have you ever heard of deer horns?
Yeah. They work pretty good.
I'm not talking about the ones on the deer. I'm talking about the ones you put on your car.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Those little whistles, they work really good. They
yeah.
They came out just when I was ready to leave New York and come down here.
Well,
I was one of the few guys in the reserves that never hit a deer.
Really?
Yeah. Came close. The last day of the reserves before I moved to Texas.
Hmm.
2 o'clock in the morning, I come back to reserves, I am sound asleep, and I'm just driving down the road. I'm probably 5 miles from home. My reserves are like 60 miles away, so I'm almost home. I'm just driving down the road, half asleep, and here comes this deer meandering in front of me. Couldn't have missed him more by 2 or 3 foot. He looked at me and just kept going. I looked at him, and I was so out of it that I didn't stop. I just missed him. That was the closest I ever came, though.
Well, I've had them run into the side of my car.
Yeah, didn't have that yet.
Well, I never really hit one to kill it. But when I moved out here and
mm-hmm.
I met my wife and I already started building this house, and we were driving down the park road over there and a deer come up out of the side of the road and
mm-hmm.
ran into our car.
Oh, yeah.
And then another time, they just ran into the door,
blap. Mm-hmm. Well, I had one buddy hit and flipped it through his windshield into his car. And the only thing that saved him was the deer got out immediately. Otherwise, deer inside of a car, unhappy campers.
They will cut you to pieces of those hooves.
And so he lucked out. Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, people don't realize what it costs.
Is this working?
It's working. Go
okay.
ahead.
Well, the guy I know, he said he had the longest deer lease in Texas. I
mm-hmm.
said, what's that? He said, Highway 71
yeah.
or 290. And he said, I shot a deer one day or one evening,
mm-hmm.
big buck, and stopped and threw him in the back of the truck, took off. I looked in my rear view mirror about 2 minutes later. It was standing up in the back of his truck.
that'll wake you up.
Yeah.
Let's get back to Vietnam. You're about ready to leave there. So you left, when did you leave?
The 21st of December.
Ah, okay. Well, so you're one of those December kids then.
Well, I still got 2 hash marks over there because I figured 15 days, what the hell's the difference?
Right. So that was December of 66?
Six.
Six, okay.
Yeah, I was there 66 through 66.
Okay. You left just as the big buildup was starting then?
If you could say that, yeah.
Yeah.
It had already started, it just...
It started in 65, and they were going like mad in 66, building up everything inside. That's when I first went to college. I was in ROTC, so I knew the war well. I knew where I was going.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so
the rest of the company from Fort Hood were sent over to Nam, and they were sent to Long Bend.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the battalion.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys were green as gourds.
Mm-hmm.
They were running around with machine gun jeeps.
Mm-hmm.
And one little patrol came into the compound one day. The guy went to clear the M60, except he forgot to take the belt out.
Oh, man.
Pulled the trigger and ripped off about 5 or 6 rounds into his tent and killed his buddy. And then they had what they call a crow's nest. It was a tall tree that they had a platform up on and sandbags around, and they had a 60 on that. Some guy had bought a one of those conical hats that all the Vietnamese wear, more or less, and they were down there cutting brush. And he just opened up on the hat because he knew there wasn't supposed to be any Vietnamese down there. Well, he killed him, too.
Jesus.
And my buddy who lives in Carbondale, Colorado, he was with me at Fort Hood. And then after I left in April or so, he came out to Long Bend. We were surprised as hell to see each other. He said, "What? Good, all right." Well, he stayed until the next April, and he said that's whenever the 615th was in charge of patrolling Highway 1, and they were driving along there with the Jeep tops off, windshield down, because you can't fire through that windshield,
right.
You have to. Well, seems Charlie learned something from the Germans. Tied piano wire across the road. Well, it decapitated two MPs. And he says it was basically uneventful before he left, you know. Well, I got to Tonsonute to catch my flight home. And we all boarded the plane, and it was getting towards evening, and down at the end of the runway, Charlie was dropping mortar rounds in, and there were flares in the air, and tracer bullets going left and right, and the pilot kicked it in the rear. And we got up off the ground out of range of that real quick. I just said, "Please, let's just say get off the ground and get to the Philippines so we can get gas there."
Right.
Oh, man.
Now, did they check your gear real well when you got in the airplane?
Oh, they gave us this big cock and bull story about it. You got uniforms that are not supposed to, that weren't issued. Yeah, well, and all kinds of things. I told them, I said, "I got my uniform, my boots, and I've got 2 bottles of whiskey here wrapped around by all this stuff. One of the guys in my VFW post, 856, he said one of his dude he knew, he was in the Marines, he said he bought a pair of speakers at the PX. Coming back, he opened up the backs of them, and he had got hold of an AK-47, and he fastened to the inside of the speakers. He sent him home. And before he got home, he was got killed. So I don't know if anybody knew those that weapon was in there or not. I could have bought a Thompson sub for $30.
Wow.
Still in the Cosmoline.
Good Lord.
Some guy at the black market wants to sell me an M60 tank. I told him, how am I going to get that home?
It's amazing what was available, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. And I could have got a carbine for about $20.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those that they gave the Arvin.
Mm-hmm.
And shoot, like the guy said in Full Metal Jackets, never been used, I've been only dropped once. I'd like to have one of those.
Yeah.
But, no, there wasn't any screaming going on.
Okay.
Hell, I could have put 6 or 8 grenades in the back of that, in the bottom of that duffel bag, okay. And they wouldn't have known.
That's what I was wondering about, because a guy that was in my ROTC unit, the supply sergeant, they slipped a grenade in the back of his pack, his duffel bag.
Yeah.
And he was like everybody else, how could they possibly do that? Okay, so they made him strip his duffel bag. And they did that to everybody, and as they were stripping, out comes this hand grenade. And so he got religion real fast about that.
Hmm.
And so he was more than happy somebody was checking this out. So yeah, they were booby-trapping the thing. That's why I asked the question.
Yeah. Damn, there's something I was going to say, but I come slip my mind. I have that lately.
Mm-hmm.
We call them blonde moments or brain farts or whatever.
So you came back here.
I got to Frisco.
Mm-hmm.
They took us over to Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
It was about 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, man.
And it was the 22nd of December when we left on the 21st.
Right.
I guess we lost a day coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And we go through all the stations, get checked out for discharge, and got paid, everything. And the lieutenant asked if anybody want to relist. We laughed at him, and he walked. He said, I had to ask, walked off. And we, three of us were in the same MP company.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else went with us. And we got to the airport of Frisco, and the restaurant was open.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little before 7, because we got out of got through the discharge at 5:30 or 6.
Oh, so they discharged you in Frisco then?
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
And paid us, and we called a cab over to the airport. And we walked into the dining area there and sat down at the table, and waitress came over and said, we'd like to have 4 Michelobes, please.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sorry, I can't sell it to you until for another 15 minutes, so it becomes 7 o'clock. I said, who made up this rule?
Yeah.
Then we'd been in the service, we could get a beer anytime we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And then, well, we drank 2 or 3 rounds. And I said, well, I'm going to go over and check on the flight out of here for Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
I went over and the lady said, no, we're all filled up in coach. I said, you got anything first class? Oh, yeah. I said, give me a ticket. $100 for a first class ticket.
And you just wanted to go home?
I just wanted to go home. Got on that, it was a champagne flight.
Oh, good deal.
Had 2 glasses of champagne after about an hour. Next thing I remember, the steward is waking me up, so we're coming into Love Field. So I said, okay. And from there, I caught a puddle jumper.
Mm-hmm.
It was a four cylinder, it was DC-9.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another just come through.
Okay.
Or was coming through. And the flight was 50 minutes from Dallas to Austin.
Mm-hmm.
And that Norther, you can see the lightning and everything, and the wings that DC-9 are doing this, and flapping in the breeze. I said, oh, Lord, please set this thing down the runway. And my buddy was waiting there for me, because I already called him. It took me from there over to, well, first of all, I couldn't find my duffel bag. Luggage didn't arrive. So they'd send it out to my house. It wasn't nowhere, and I told them. So we went to the bowling alley, but my mother and father were bowling that night. Walked in there, and I was still woozy from the champagne flight and the four beers, the three or four beers I drank. But I had a couple more beers at Love Field until I caught that flight.
Wow.
And then everything's kind of hazy after that. I just remember yellow cab bringing my duffel bag to my mother and father's house.
Right.
And we lived way out in Cattle Gap, Egypt, off BK's Road, up a little dirt road up top of the hill. And if you didn't know it was there, you'd never known it was there. Anyhow, that's basically it.
Cool. So you never saw a USO show while you were over there?
No.
Okay.
I didn't go on R&R either.
Yeah, I was wondering to ask you. So you never made the R&R trip then?
No. I just said I can't see getting more pissed off by going on R&R and have to come back here.
Right. That's what I was wondering about. So you had, how many years did you have in service?
7 years, 3 months, 2 days.
And you didn't re-up because you just figured you were going back to the garden spot.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, I could have probably got duty station West Point again as an E-5 if they'd given me my extra stripe. If they wouldn't give me that stripe, I wasn't going to re-up.
Right.
And I never did approach them about that. Because I had originally planned to stay in, but there were so many what we call lifers in there. I got to looking at them. I said, do I want to become one of those? Anyhow, I came back home and went to work for the city for about a month and a half.
Okay.
And I met a guy who's a friend of my cousin, my first cousin, and he said, why don't you come down to Hunter Hayes Elevator Company and apply for a job?
Mm-hmm.
He said, they're hiring. I said, well, what do they pay? He says, $2.50 an hour starting. Well, I was only making a buck and a quarter for the city.
Mm-hmm. And you said, I'm out of here, dude.
Well, I went and I told the man who was in charge of the survey crew.
Mm-hmm.
I told him, I said, I've got another job. If I wanted to go, I'll give you 2 weeks' notice. He said, don't worry about it. Just go on. So you're going to get a dollar and a quarter raise? I said, yeah. So I went to work for Hunter Hayes Elevator Company in 67, April the 3rd. And in 6 months, I was making 70% of what a mechanic was making. It was well over $3 an hour.
Wow.
And 2 years later, I'm a mechanic.
That's a good deal, then.
Well, in the first place, I didn't know what elevators were all about, because I'd rode them before in Austin, but the ones in Vietnam, it said five or six people, they were talking about Charlie's. not
right.
GI.
Not real people, yeah.
And if you put four or five of us on that thing, it was going to run through the bottom floor.
Hmm.
And, well, they had people working on those ones in those open messes and bars at the top of buildings all the time.
That's a good deal, then.
Well, yeah, I was making $5 an hour and 70.
Hmm.
69.70. First job I worked on as a mechanic was over at the State Finance Building.
Mm-hmm.
And then they sent me over to, got me over to the Dobie Center Building, a 30-story job.
Mm-hmm.
On 21st in Guadalupe. When I quit, I was making $15 an hour.
Wow.
Plus $12-$13 benefits.
Why'd you quit? Did you retire?
Arthritis did.
Oh, that's not good.
Retired me in 92.
Ew.
I've got two knee replacements.
Are you serious?
Hmm? Yeah, I'm serious.
You're not that old to have two knee replacements.
I'll be 62 in October.
Man, you're worse than I am because I have arthritis.
Well.
Whoa.
That look like football injuries to you?
Oh, man. Yeah, that could ruin your elevator career.
Yeah, because just about everything in the elevator business is heavy.
Right. Is Hunter Hayes still in business?
No.
I didn't think so.
No, it soon was bought out by Dover Electrical.
Ah, okay.
And now it's Thyssen Krupp.
Oh, okay.
Krupp was the people who supplied Hitler with all his war equipment. All the tanks, mm-hmm. rifles, guns, cannons, bullets.
Hmm.
And they sentenced the old man to 10 years in prison for war crimes. And
I didn't know that. Didn't know they were in town.
Oh, yeah, well. I got a hat my ex-boss gave me. It says Thyssen Krupp. I just took a black marker and marked out the Krupp because I'm not about to wear it. Something like that. He said, well, we do business with the Japanese. I said, yeah, I'm sure we do, but why should we?
Right. That's a good point.
They're kind of like the people from Mexico. Texas took mm-hmm. it from them, and they just said, well, we're going to get it back, and they're doing it real good without firing a shot.
Yeah, question. When you came back from Nam, how come you didn't get in the reserves or back into the Guard? You just didn't want to?
Well, I ran into my ex, two of my ex officers at a beer joint out on BK's Road,
mm-hmm.
and I told him I just got back from Vietnam and said, well, you want to come out and rejoin us? Mm-hmm. I said, well, not unless I have at least E6 stripes on. He said, well, I think we can pull that off.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got to think, God damn.
I could go back to Vietnam again.
Well, no. I didn't think that. I just thought, if they could do that, how come I didn't get that
mm-hmm.
in Vietnam when I was put in the working in an E5 slot as an mm-hmm. E4, you know. And one thing that got the pay officer's attention, so I had over 6 M when I was getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
I was maxed out and great.
Right.
And I was making over $600 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And this lieutenant says, how in the world are you making more money than me? I'm a first lieutenant. I said, I've got more years in the service than you do, sir.
Right.
That's why. Yeah, I was, and that wasn't even counting the allotment I was sending to my mother and my ex-wife.
So if you could have gotten a 6 in the Guard, how come you didn't jump on the opportunity?
I just said, I don't believe I need the aggravation.
I'm laughing because a lot of people, I always ask the questions, the same answer I've had. I'm not getting back in again.
They had a chance at me, and I'm not about to give them another one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, most people I know that when I told them I was stationed at West Point, they don't believe me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard West Point's good duty. Good deal.
I took an orientation class there right before I left.
Mm-hmm.
And they were teaching the new method of directing traffic.
Ah.
And they had me up there at Hood at one of the main intersections directing traffic, and mm-hmm. I was doing it the way I was taught.
Oh, wow.
Couple, 3-4 months before, and I think the OD and the sergeant came up and walked up to me and said, get off that stand and go over the side of the road, and because they had somebody else direct traffic. They didn't like the way I was doing it. I said, sir, this is just the new way of directing traffic according to the Department of the Army.
Mm-hmm.
I said, evidently you hadn't heard about it yet. So I just got through taking class on that. And instead of doing that,
right,
we were taught to do this.
Oh, right, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is the old way.
That's the old way.
And this was the new way.
Right.
So.
I remember that. Because I was an Army brat, and I remember the old way, and I remember the new way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bring back fun memories.
Well, anyhow, that's where we had a 2-hour orientation on that, and
mm-hmm.
What to do at crime scenes and so mm-hmm. forth. And well, I've got pictures of me at graduation at Provost Marshal General School.
Cool.
That's me and a guy in my platoon.
Mm-hmm.
Graduation day, when we were first handed
the bazaar.
And then we, at the same time, we were handed a certificate of completion mm-hmm. of the training and everything. And I had a major, I don't know if he was retired, active duty or not, I was down at, for the Veterans Day Parade mm-hmm. up to the Capitol here last year. And I was wearing my pistol belt.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of a .45, I got a 9mm Brown mm-hmm. Browning high power in my holster.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was empty.
Mm-hmm.
He said, surely there's no bullets. I said, sir, you see these? They don't give these to you for being stupid. I said, no, sir, it is empty.
Now, you had, when you were in Nam and even in Korea, you had the MP uniform, not the standard uniform, right? You had the epaulets with the buttons. Oh, you had the standard uniform?
I had the jungle fatigues.
Oh, you didn't have the fancy MP fatigues.
No, this is this is not the jungle fatigues, but it's the old fatigues. And
right.
About 3 or 4 months before I left there, they issued us jungle fatigues.
Okay,
because I got a complete outfit.
Okay, because the ones
closet.
I saw, the MP ones, had the button epaulets on theirs, and you could roll your buttons up and attach the brassard and all that stuff. We used to make fun of the MP uniform. It was a pain in the rump. Well, I could never order them easily because we didn't have that many MPs in the unit.
Yeah. Well, no, I've got a full.
Okay, so you had a standard uniform then.
Yeah, just fatigues. I had a full set of TWs, 3 shirts, 3 pants.
I remember those.
And a coat.
Yeah.
This is what I got at West Point. The first sergeant sent me down to the PX to a tailor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And they tailored my clothes to fit me.
Yeah, mine were tailored.
I couldn't believe this.
The TWs were all right, though. I liked them.
I like the jungle fatigues because you get wet in 10-15 minutes, you're dry again.
Yeah.
The flag they fly at West Point
mm-hmm.
during graduation day, hugest flag I've ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
It takes 20 of us to bring it down.
Wow. So you were on the flag detail too?
Oh yeah, we
oh, okay.
we posted flags at Reveille.
Ah, okay.
Down
I didn't know you did that.
Five.
Okay.
Yeah, folded them.
Hmm.
But this time it rained that afternoon,
mm-hmm.
and the flag got wet, so we didn't fold it. We just bunched it up, put
right.
it back in the Jeep, took it down to the desk. And this was the old jail down there. It was
mm-hmm.
From the Revolutionary War.
Mm-hmm.
And we stretched it out over the top of the cells
mm-hmm.
and went all the way almost to the floor on both sides of the
wow.
cells. Two cells, double back to back, 8 by 16 or so. And this flag was humongous.
Flag.
Like I said, it took 20 of us to bring it down and fold it when it was dry. Now we fired the cannon every morning, every evening.
Oh, okay, so you guys did that.
Yep.
I wasn't sure if the cadets stared at you guys. I guess they answered my question. Anything else you want to add to this tape?
No, not really. I think I put a little cover there.
Okay, any other funny stories? Sad stories or?
Oh, funny story? Yeah,
yeah.
I'll tell you, we was down at Fort Pope. I caught a little bitty baby armadillo.
Mm-hmm.
And my squad sergeant, he was sleeping in his bunk on his back.
Mm-hmm.
The light on. And one of the guys said, let's put it in Sergeant Johnson's bunk.